Good morning, colleague. I just wanted to make sure that I do have sound and that I'm in the right place. So it's just quiet by coincidence.
Ek het klaar aanvaar, die vergadering is uitgestel, meneer Hansinge.
Ek het baie goeie Honorable Shabangu.
How are you?
I love the bridge on you as your background. It matches your gear so nicely.
I don't know what is that.
Tumelang, Makosini.
I'll send you a photo just in case.
Tumelang, Rainal, guy.
Ah, greeting. The guy.
Ramadawi.
Hey, Tumelang, Memaramatwa. Makosini.
Yeah.
Makosini, kwa. Kwa, met you
today. Yeah.
Hey.
It's yeah, we get water 3 times per week. And so so.
Yeah, that's much better now.
Yeah.
The material.
Hey.
Everybody, I have a bit of problem in terms of my picture, so please bear with me. If you don't see me, I'm trying to work on that. I'm sure I'll be successful. But let me start first by thanking the portfolio committee members who debated yesterday. I think it is only fair for me to say we have been able to go and display the working together, hegemony and unity of this portfolio committee at the plenary yesterday. It was heartwarming for me as a chairperson of the portfolio committee to see even those political parties who are not members of this portfolio committee, recognizing the hard work that is being put by this committee in terms of processing legislation. I honestly want to say to all the members of this portfolio committee, whether they debated yesterday or not, I am extremely privileged to have worked with honorable members of your caliber. Keep up the good work. It's not always easy. We will not see things in the same light, but our conduct should always show that we are professional. We can talk to each other. We can compromise when we need to do so for the people of South Africa to be able to have a bigger benefit. Thank you very much. The second issue before we start with our meeting is an issue of our meeting tomorrow, 14 May. It seems as if we may not have all the members in the meeting. Let me check how many members will be able to be in the meeting, so that we are able to be sure about the way forward in our meeting tomorrow. Who is not, oh, let me start with Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just for clarity, when is this now exactly, Chairperson?
Valerie?
Chair, the meeting is on Friday, 14 May.
Now, sadly, Chairperson, I will not be able to attend on Friday. It is rather difficult. On Fridays in general for me, since I've got other commitments as well. So please then accept my apology in advance, Chairperson, for Friday. I will not be able to attend the Portfolio Committee meeting on Friday.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Member. Mkhayesh.
Modulasitulo, Mosomontle.
Hey, Mkhayesh.
Chairperson, I think I'm in the same boat as Honorable Hunsinger in this regard. Unfortunately, on many Fridays, it's when we do oversights, constituency-based oversights and all of that. So I myself will not be available on Friday, unfortunately.
Did we lose the chair again?
Chairperson's mic is open and he's still online. So I don't, but now he disappeared again. So we will have to.
The chairperson is infuriated today. That is why he's encountering problems.
It's that part of the Free State. In the mountains, Makosini.
Afrieda is very awkward with regard to connectivity, Baba.
I love that place. I was in school there, Makosini. I was in school there in Afrieda.
Yeah. Warden and Afrieda.
Yeah, I was in the school there in Afrieda.
Okay.
In my much younger days.
Okay.
Members, we will try to get Chairperson online again.
Hello. Valerie?
Yes, Chair.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Thank you very much. I had to run to the mountain for the first time, but it's okay. Can we then start? Maybe we'll come back on this issue of the 14th. Can we then deal with the consideration and adoption of the report on the 2021-22 annual performance plans of the Department of Transport and its entities? I guess this is some of the work we did yesterday. And if I'm correct, let me hear from members. What are members' view? Any consideration, adoption? Am I talking alone? I don't see any hands. Jambas.
Chairperson, sorry, it's Honorable MacDonald here. If you can just repeat the last sentence, I didn't hear you. Apologies, Chairperson. I also had a dip there. If you just can repeat what you said, Chairperson.
We are on an item where we need to consider and adopt the report on the 2021-22 annual performance plans of the Department of Transport and its entities. These are the report, I guess, that we did yesterday. So I was saying, any consideration or adoption? Honorable Unsinger?
Chairperson, I find the report in line with the suggestions which we made yesterday, reflecting mainly on the contribution of myself and Honorable Lisa Mangu. I therefore propose that we accept the report, and I propose the report to be adopted by the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Honorable MacDonald?
Chairperson, I second the adoption of the report, and it's a true reflection of the work that we've done.
Thank you very much. Anybody who is against or has an issue on this? Going once. Thank you very much. Thank you for that, honorable members. Our second item will be consideration and adoption of outstanding reports. We have a couple of them. That will also include oversight report, expenditure of the committee, and so forth. Can we start, Advocate Almanel, with a report on the public hearings on Civil Aviation Amendment Bill?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just doing the screen share now for members, just to give them a refresher of what the report looks like. This report, as well as the other reports that we need to finalize today, have been sent to members. As Valerie indicated in the email, this public hearings report is a report that we do that just covers and indicates the public hearings and the submissions received and the comments made thereto. So, Chair, this will not materially affect the continuation of the bills, just so that we have our records of the deliberations on the bill as complete as possible. We will get a similar report on the public hearings for the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill and all the other bills as we go forward. So, Chair, just to show, these reports will always have an introduction of what the bill seeks to do, or the long title of the bill. It indicates when we had the public hearings and how these submissions may affect or have affected the work of the committee. As we noted here, the additions that we had to bring and do further advertising. It then shows the stakeholders that made written submissions, and then it indicates the public hearings, who were present to the public hearings on those specific days. Chair, then the fourth section indicates how the department responded to these, the input received from the stakeholders. So that is the presentation that members received from the department in PowerPoint that we've added here. Just quickly gonna run to the bottom. And then Chair, this section, paragraph 5, will show the matters that were raised by members during the deliberation. So these are certain clarity questions that were asked, certain issues that came up. So Chair, I'm going to just focus on these ones and read them out, because this is the last portion. We just need to make sure that we captured everything. We also pulled this information from the minutes that we took during the public hearing. So Chair, 5.1, members noted the financial constraints that may not allow for the establishment of the ASIB as an entirely separate entity from SACA. However, although the physical separation cannot be financially possible at this point in time, the operational regulatory aspects should be of such a nature as to allow for impartiality and independence that would enable ASIB to perform investigations of SACA without fear or favor. The members will recall that we did attempt to do that in the amendments that we brought into the bill. 5.2, given the impact that the economy as well as COVID-19 travel restrictions had on the airline industry, there was a need to ensure that funds collected on behalf of SACA by carriers are secured, and that SACA will be empowered to claim these funds in full in cases where carriers are liquidated. That is the additions that we brought to the Insolvency Act. 5.3, concerns were raised regarding the funding of major aircraft accidents or incidents that could run into billions. Members will know we had that discussion, especially if it was a overwater crash that normally carries substantial costs to do those investigations. 5.4, the need to bring the current legislation in line with ICAO provisions were noted, and we also tried to ensure that that was done in all the inclusions and amendments to the bill, especially our very favorite aerodrome airport discussion. Then Chair, 5.5, the regulations to the bill will play an important role to how CARCOM way, and the committee was also made aware that future amendments to the Civil Aviation Bill may have to be done in the near future to ensure continuous ICAO compliance, as well as addressing policy changes that may come. This was also based on one of the submissions where they indicated that there is an aviation safety bill being discussed by the department, and that that bill may affect some of the provisions that were in the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill. So that is the first draft that was sent out for consideration. And then Chair, just to get input from members on this, especially paragraph 5, if we need to add some more information, then we can do that today. Or if members are happy, they can move forward with the possible adoption. Thank you, Chair.
Are we done?
Yes, Chairperson. This is now for members' input and possible adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let me then see hands. Honorable McDonald and Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Thank you, Advocate Nell. It's a well-compiled report. However, in the matters raised by the members, I think that we should do mention the fact that the seven possible appointments on the short list that would be done by the Portfolio Committee or by Parliament, as what it says in the bill, to also mention that in there, that the other appointment or the board will be constituted. I don't know how we're going to word that. I'm not a legal expert, but I think that should be also mentioned in the members, raised members during the deliberations. That's all. Otherwise, I think the report is a very good report. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald, Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as far as I can recall, this is the first time that we've had a report of this nature. I find it a bit out of place in that we've passed the bill yesterday, and it was this report could have been included in the Portfolio Committee report. What is the purpose of this report? Who demanded such a report? And in what manner is this significant, since recordings and minutes are made of all the proceedings? So I need to understand the purpose of this report and what the functionality thereof is, since minutes are kept and records are maintained. And I've never seen a report of this nature in the Portfolio Committee in the last 7 years.
Okay. Valerie?
Chair, the reports are for record keeping, and also to give just a view of what transpired during the hearings. So it is correct that what Mr. Hunsinger is saying, we keep very meticulous record of what happens during deliberations in terms of the minutes, recordings, and the information that are kept on the submissions, as well as the responses from the department. So this is just an additional record that we keep for people who wants all the information in one package, Chair. It is not a report, as I've said, it's for information purposes. It's not a report that is adopted by the House or okay. Even considered by the NA, yes.
Okay.
Surely we should take a decision whether we want such a report, because now, without any announcement, it is simply introduced as if it's a standard thing and that the committee is subject to consider this without any announcement that this is new in any form. I would want this to be explained, Chairperson.
Yeah, I think, Honorable Hansinger, I must carry that that blame. The officials did indicate to me, and I said, no, it's okay. Information is information. Now, because of what has happened this morning of me coming in and out of this meeting, I couldn't give information on other matters like this one. As you will recall, even the matter we're deliberating on, we have not brought it to its logical conclusion. I hear your concern, and I think it's a genuine concern. It will be corrected as we move on. Honorable Ramadwa.
Macaroni Molly say, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. In fact, I'm covered by Honorable Singer, but I also want to check, because now there is 5.7 that has been added, that there was a proposal that the committee must be involved. And then when we're given this report, 5.7 was not given, was not in. It has been given now when we are deliberating. But you'll have to excuse me. I was not there yesterday. I don't know. But I wanted just to check, why is it being put now, whereas the whole report, this 5.7 came in now when we are discussing, whether it was forgotten or why is it? And then it is indicating it's a proposal, whereas this bill was debated yesterday, and now there are this issue and also proposal that is coming. I think I just need clarity on that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Bora Madwa. As I was listening to Honorable Lawrence McDonald, he raises an issue that was part of the debates during our deliberations on this bill. If I'm not mistaken, also this issue was also raised yesterday by Honorable Stolle in the debate yesterday. But because Honorable McDonald is here, can you clarify that point, Honorable McDonald?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson, it was one of the main key points of the bill that was deliberated specifically by Honorable Manu and Honorable Ansinger, of the establishment of the board through interviews in Parliament. And I thought it was just maybe an oversight from Afrikaat now that point was not in there at the report. And you are 100% correct, Chairperson. That was one of the points that were debated by all the parties and all the members in the debate yesterday. And I think it was just an oversight. And I just asked that that should also be mentioned, because that was a point in the deliberations that got us to the adoption of the bill that all the parties agreed to, Chairperson. That's my submission, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I think with that, we can then pass this report if there's any other issue. If there's no any other issue from any other member, because this report is really for our information. It's a report that is there that will ensure that should anybody need any information summarized in a form of a report, then we have that report. Can we then move, Advocate, to other reports? Quarterly expenditure? Before you do that, Advocate Honorable Ansinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want to prolong the meeting in moving forward and back. But in terms of the report, I still have a concern, because as a committee, we have not decided what the use and the status, the function and role of this report is. In closing, you now mentioned that this is a handy report to be given to anybody that would have any form of query. I'm not comfortable with that, Chairperson, because it reflects deliberation and not conclusion and not consensus. So therefore, it would be open for speculation. And if this report carries the status that it could be handed to anybody, it would then be used in all sorts of different manners. And I'm also thinking of other bills which would be considered in the future. And if you declare this type of report to carry this particular status, that anything that's been deliberated and captured in this report simply for the purposes of minuting what was said it could really be used in any and all directions. I firmly propose, Chairperson, that we hold back on this report, that we have a portfolio committee discussion on what the status of this report would be and for what use this report would be clearly defined for applied for in the future. We cannot have it in the manner which we've dealt with now, Chairperson. There are huge implications and complications and comebacks for the committee, which I'm simply trying to protect.
Well, honorable members, there is a view and a proposal. Let's check what other members are saying. Boramadwa.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I support what Honorable Hunsinger is proposing, that this report must come to the committee and we deliberate on that. Thank you.
We deliberate on the status of the report, okay. Mkhayesh.
Seconded, Chair.
Okay.
Seconded.
Thank you very much. Maybe less than Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, in the interest of unity of this portfolio committee, Chairperson, let's refer this to another meeting and then we can discuss this document properly. And let's leave here today as friends and colleagues.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's then move to another report, quarterly expenditure advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to note for members, when we are going to consider the report on the public submissions of the bill next time, we do actually have a requirement that members have set for themselves in our own strat plan and APP for the compilation of reports on the public hearings of the bills. I thought I'd just remind members of that. So in preparation for the next meeting, just to bear that in mind when we do get to the further discussion on that report. Chair, the expropriation report, a lot of this information has already been included in the budget report that I presented to members yesterday. So this is based on the second and third quarter expenditure presentations that we have received from the department. So members will see here in the introduction, it just indicates why we do need to do these reports, and it indicates the date when we received those presentations from the department. Chair, I hope you can see a proper Word document because my screen seems to be boggled up a little bit. Let me just try and redo that screen share. So, Chair, I think this morning we are all faced with technical difficulties. I'm just going to close the document and reopen it. Chairperson, my computer does not want to work with me in screen sharing that report today. The document was sent out to members I'm just going to go from what I can recall on memory on that report, and if Valerie can possibly just assist and read out until my computer wants to cooperate again, Chairperson. So it will cover the information that we've received on the second quarter expenditure. It indicates the targets that the department have been able to reach or not been able to reach. Then it also indicates the expenditure in the third quarter, and towards the bottom of the document, it will indicate the observations and that were made during those hearings, Chair. I'm just going to ask Valerie if she perhaps has the document there that she can just read through that without doing the screen share, if possible. I'm just going to try and get my computer to cooperate with me, Chairperson.
Members, I'm just getting the chairperson online quickly again. Chairperson has lost connection while I'm looking for the document.
Okay, Valerie, I think at least I've had to close all my Word documents that were open at once, so I'm back online here. I hope it'll continue presenting properly. Third quarter assessment there, we give the indications in the tables on the budget that the department had and how they spent that budget. We give it per program, we give information. We've also added the COVID spending information on the second quarter. Then we've got the issues highlighted by the committee for that specific quarter. This was also captured and pulled from the minutes that were done during those meetings. There was a delay in spending on goods and services. There's a pattern of underspending on capacity for public transport grant monitoring. There was the slow filling of vacant posts within the second quarter. Then we have an indication of the achievement and non-achievement of targets with an overview of those targets achieved from quarters 1, 2, and 3 to indicate where the department has made progress in working towards the achievement of their targets. The first quarter obviously was hit quite drastically with the COVID lockdown regulations that came in. The second and third quarter achievements are listed as presented by the department for each program, or if there wasn't specific achievements in that program, it would not have reflected in that way, but they did show achievements for all of their programs. The third quarter achievements are also listed there for members to cross-reference back, and then we get to the challenges or the non-achievements that they have had. So this, members will see, according to the department, they would have had non-achievements in the second quarter for program 1, program 4, program 6, and in the third quarter there were non-achievements under program 2, program 4, and program 6. The committee observations, where we can get input from members so that we can expand if we need to, or just ensure that we've captured all the input correctly. 5.1, the department's failure to submit briefing documents in time continue to impact negatively on members' oversight responsibility. It was further noted that the information that was presented on the department's expenditure during the meeting differed from the document that was sent to members, which limited members' ability to thoroughly interrogate the expenditure presentation and reports. 5.2, the department provided the same reasons as in previous presentations for underspending across its program areas, such as, for example, the reasons for not filling vacancies in the administration program. There was also a view that the same reasons were given for targets not being met, without the department providing a clear plan to address the areas of non-achievement. 5.3, the committee noted the withholding of the transfer payment of the public transport network grant to Mangaung and Rustenburg municipalities as a result of non-compliance. 5.4, members noted that the amounts indicated for the taxi recapitalization program and for international organizations differed in the presentation from the document that was sent to members. 5.5, the department did not provide the committee with the previously requested information on the amounts spent on processed legal fees, including court settlements. 5.6, the information on underspending in all programs was the same from 2018-19 and 19-20 financial years, which created an impression that the department was not serious about service delivery. Members queried how the department could reach 100% targets in rail service or rail, since trains were hardly operational long before COVID-19 lockdown. Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality was also cited as an example where 550 million rand was spent on the PTNG while no buses were running and the roads were not completed. 5.7, the department was asked to explain the delays in the implementation of regional corridor projects and the underspending on the National Travel Household Survey. The department was further asked to explain what happened to the 1.135 billion for taxi relief and what would happen to the money if the taxi industry did not take up the funding. The department was asked whether it monitored the spending of the provincial road maintenance grant since a number of provincial roads were poorly maintained. 5.9 was noted that the department was not achieving its safe road targets. 5.10, members noted the ongoing vandalism and theft of process infrastructure. Furthermore, members noted the under-expenditure in rail and the continued decline in passenger numbers. 5.11, the department was still renting a tugboat from an Italian carrier and leasing a flight inspection aircraft when South African flag-carrying tugboats and a flight inspection aircraft could have been purchased by now if one looks at how much is spent on renting this equipment. 5.12, the department failed to disclose all expenditure on consultants as it was not included in the presentation. 5.13, the presentation from the department indicated a decline in taxi scrapping and in the allocated budget. The department was asked if it had a strategy in place to encourage an uptake from the taxi industry. 5.14, the department was asked to provide the timeframes for the National Anti-Fraud and Corruption Strategy for Road Environment and to provide information on reviewing the Memorandum of Understanding with the universities. 5.15, it was noted that there was a decline in passenger rail trips in the rail transport program even before lockdown. The department was asked whether it was upgrading the dilapidated train stations in the Eastern Cape. 5.16, concerns regarding the Mulatto corridor were expressed once more. Significant concern was expressed regarding the halt of any progress with the rail corridor project. This concern was further linked to the budget allocation and expenditure for feasibility studies on a high-speed rail corridor, while there were similar feasibility studies done for the Mulatto rail corridor and the Johannesburg to Durban rail corridors, all of which were completed and the projects were not continued with. 5.17, there was a concern expressed that the aviation academic institutions were spending budget, but that there was little transformation achieved through this in the industry. Committee recommendations. These are proposed recommendations for members' input. Committee recommends that the minister ensure that the department submit quarterly reports on expenditure on time so that members have sufficient time to study the reports and that the information tabled are accurate. The department provides a clear plan to address the areas of non-achievement in its programs in such a manner as to avoid repeating the same reasons in the next quarterly report or the next financial year. The department ensures improved alignment of its programs and targets to service delivery. The department provides the committee with quarterly reports on non-compliance by municipalities linked to the PTNG, as well as the support given to these municipalities from the department. The department's quarterly expenditure reports provide a breakdown of expenditure for scholar transport per province. that the department initiates without delay the purchase of South African flag carrying tugboats and a flight inspection aircraft. The department and its entities report on quarterly expenditures containing the amounts spent on consultants. The department and process submit a report on the appointment of security personnel to assist in safeguarding process infrastructure. The department ensures it provides the committee with all the additional requested quarterly reports from it and its entities per the 2020 budget review and recommendations report. And then to the end of the report, it will state the report to be considered. The chairperson, this is also one of those reports that would have assisted us greatly if we were able to adopt this report before we got to the budget report. So members will see that most of these issues have been addressed and attended to. We have also received some documents again from the department following the additional observations made in the BRRR. So some of these matters have been addressed, but not all of them have been addressed. Chairperson, that is the expenditure report for members' input and consideration.
Thank you, Advocate. Let me hear members' consideration and adoption. Baba Keta Mabala.
Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, Baba.
Good morning.
Good morning, Job.
And good morning to all honorable members.
Yeah.
On our recommendation, I didn't see the issue of scholar transport and the issue of e-tolls in Gauteng, because I think we talk about them, but there's nothing that says what is our findings and now what is our recommendation on those two issues. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Any other consideration? Advocate? Can we quickly deal with the concerns of Honorable Stolle?
Chairperson, we have asked that there be a provincial breakdown on the expenditure for scholar transport per province, because that was a discussion that we had during the expenditure reports. When we did the discussions on the expenditure report, there wasn't specific observations and recommendations made for e-tolls in that report. The recommendations for scholar transport and e-tolls, as Mr. Sitole indicated yesterday for the budget report, they were included and incorporated in their chair, but we are currently looking at the discussions that members had when we considered the quarterly reports submitted by the department.
Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, with that addition of Honorable Keta Mabala and the response of Advocate Nell, I move for the adoption of this report, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Any second of the report? Honorable members, are we still together in the meeting?
Chairperson, I second that we accept the report.
Okay, thank you very much. Anybody who has an issue? Going once, twice, no issues. Thank you very much. Advocate, can we now deal with the oversight report Maybe let's start with Mangaung and then come to Gauteng and Mpumalang.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just trying to pull them up individually so that my computer doesn't go crazy again. Okay, Chairperson, I will start. I flighted the Mangaung oversight, Chairperson.
Yes.
This one will indicate the track changes because it just shows where we definitely need some input from members. Members will recall that myself and Valerie were not with them physically at the oversight. We relied on other support members that went, support that staff that went with members. So members will see here my indication just here that the date March will change obviously to the date of adoption. It indicates when the oversight took place, which of the members attended the oversight, as well as the staff that was part of the oversight with members. It gives an introduction regarding the purpose of the oversight. It gives the mandates and functions. The mandate of the department is indicated there, as well as the mandate of the committee to perform its oversight. Then it indicates the site visit briefings, the dates where they occur, while as where this was done. So it indicates here that the committee met representatives of the National Department, the Free State Department, Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality, and LTC officials, which is the Driver License Testing Center officials. The purpose of the meeting was to receive the briefing on the challenge experienced there and the presentations that the committee received is indicated there. The challenges experienced during the post-lockdown was indicated in the presentation to members. So it's just captured that we have here based on how the department will be addressing or seeks to address those challenges. So members would have received that in the presentation. They indicate COVID-19 related issues, investigations by the Hawks, and then there were some issues that emerged from the visit, specific visit. So Chair will see here that members made these observations, the queue in a slightly slow pace at the service centre, but the committee was informed that there had been some improvement on the day of the oversight visit. There was a special counter meant for service to the elderly, people with disabilities, pregnant women and school children, and a bulk service counter meant for service to corporate companies with bulk services. The eye testing section, 2 out of 8 machines were not in good working order, good working condition. The debt management center has a complement of about 10 officials. 3 of them were on sick leave and the rest were on duty. Committee was taken through an area where the new proposed debt management system would be implemented. The purpose of the DMS is to manage and follow up on the debt owed to the department, which was reported to be to the tune of approximately 400 million. According to the acting director, the DMS has not yet been procured, but there has been conceptual work done in the form of benchmarking with other provinces. During the engagements at the service center, the committee was informed that there was no law that regulated the process of issuing professional driving permits to foreign nationals. It was unclear whether there was a process of establishing whether foreign nationals had criminal records in their countries of origin prior to being granted PDPs in South Africa. On the integrated public transport network in Mangaung, there was a bus depot construction site visit that was part of phase one. The project is still at its infant stage. And then the table below as was presented to committee members by the department there to indicate the progress and the physical progress on the site, the bus depot, the dates, and the expenditure to date. The committee then visited the Metro's depot where the new BRT buses were housed, and amongst other municipal fleet that was at the depot, there were 10 of these coaches that were purchased in 2019. These buses have been stationary for about a period of a year, which will culminate in them depreciating without having been put into use. Responses to questions that were asked were deferred to the deliberation session that was scheduled for the following day. Then, Chairperson, in the debriefing session on 14 November, the my note here just indicates that we need just clarity from the members that attended the oversight regarding the absence of senior leadership from the department. We just need to clarify whether this was from national department or whether it was from the provincial department that the senior leadership was not there. So we'll need some input from the members that were present. The committee opined that continuing with the deliberations on the matter would have been futile because the officials present would not have been able to give adequate responses. It was then resolved that the officials be released so that senior leadership of relevant department can be summoned to account in a meeting of the committee as soon as possible. On the IPTN presentation, there was a briefing made to members there, and it was reported that the project would be implemented in phases. Then, Chairperson, the draft observations made there, we will also need input from members for these. On 4.1, the LTC carries out licensing and testing functions in terms of the service level agreement entered between the National Department of Transport and the Free State Traffic Department within the Mangaung Metropolitan Municipal Area. The services rendered by the institution include vehicle registrations, issuing and renewal of vehicle licenses, testing for driver's licenses, issuing of roadworthy certificates, conversion of foreign licenses to South African licenses, weighbridge operations, testing for learner's licenses, and issuing of PDPs. The City of Mangaung purchased 10 buses at a cost of 5.5 million per bus, which amounted to 55 million in total. As per the report, the reason for the cost was that the buses had to be modified to meet universal accessibility standards. Part of the modifications include disability-friendly features and security cameras inside the coaches. 4.4, there was public participation and community engagement on the rollout of the IPTN. 4.5, currently the coaches are temporarily housed at the MMM depot while the construction of the bus depot project is underway. 4.6, the coaches were purchased through a finance lease, which was obtained through an open tender process. 4.7, the Metro reported that it was required to afford Siyazi Consulting, the independent technical support, to advise the taxi industry during the process of buying the taxi industry out of the route that will be operated by the bus service. Three taxi associations are earmarked to buy out, namely GBTA, THALSTA, BTA, and a memorandum of agreement has been finalized to that effect. The MOA with the bus operator Interstate Bus Lines has not yet been concluded. 4.9, a form of a loan was approved by the National Treasury. An appointed service provider for the lease procurement of the fleet through an open tender system was obtained because the Metro was unable to service more financial loans due to its dire financial state. Extras at a 20% commission for the service provider after the lease have been factored into the amount that will be presented to the committee in the form of a comprehensive report on this matter. 4.10, a benchmarking exercise was conducted where the City of George, City of Cape Town, City of Tswana, and City of Joburg were consulted during the period 2017 to 2020. 4.11, the buses were procured by the Free State Provincial Government on behalf of the Metro. They will be transferred to the VOC once all processes have been completed. 4.12, members will also just have to indicate whether this Ward 47 is captured correctly because it states Ward 1 and 4 year instead of 1 and 47. The project started in 2014 It's currently at the infant stage because the metro started with the intermodal facility rollout, and there were reported delays owing to litigation and public unrest. The depot is at the border of Ward 1 and 4. At the commencement of the project, the metro erroneously engaged with the incorrect ward councillor. Upon realizing this misstep, the metro had to interact with the correct ward councillor. Inevitably, this caused some delays in the execution of the project. One of the service providers interdicted the project as it was demanding to be involved. Litigation was reversed by the city. The service provider influenced... Just a note from my side. Litigation was reversed by the city. It won't be a reverse. There just needs to be a change of that wording. Reversal of litigation was not correct phrasing used there. The service provider influenced the business forums, and later individuals disrupted the work on site. The situation became volatile, and the lives of the officials working on site were threatened. Violent protests due to non-payment of subcontractors by main contractors that were prevalent during this period also contributed to the delays in the project completion. 4.13, public participation was conducted, where all seven towns were engaged, and the naming of the bus service was decided upon at that level. 4.14, the Metro confirmed that the license plates and discs for the buses have been paid for. The process was concluded in February 2020. So the installation could commence any time. 4.15, there's a planned dry run of the service. The frequency will be once a month over a 30-kilometer radius per coach. The drivers are currently undergoing operational training. 4.16, Phase 1C is a pilot project. The council approved the conformity of production in September 2020, but there was a shortfall that had to be taken into account. 4.17, March 2021 is the prescribed Phase 1A infrastructure construction project completion date. This includes the depot and road bus station construction projects. 4.18, the IPTN project will be run by the Metro until 2036. It will be implemented on a three-year cycle until completion. 4.19, the Brandwach route has been earmarked for commencement of operation during 2020. 4.20, 1.1 billion cumulative budget has been allocated for the project. 4.21, the role of the National Department of Transport related to the project remains unclear. Recommendations, we do need input from members on the recommendations as well. Members will also have to indicate by when the clarifications and reports are required as requested in the recommendations. And my suggestion here is also that to clarify this issue on the PDPs by foreign nationals be clarified by National Department, as they legislate and regulate the requirements for the issuing of PDPs in general. I think the proposal there was that it be clarified by the province. So, Chair, the proposed recommendations 5.1, National Department of Transport, clarify the process of obtaining PDPs by foreign nationals. And I think if members did saw that there were some regulations to this effect publicized by the department recently. 5.2, the Metro submit a breakdown of the modification features and itemized prices for the bus service coaches. The Metro submit a report on how many women are employed at the infrastructure projects and how many of them are occupying management positions. 5.4, the National Department of Transport provide a report clarifying its involvement in the IPTN project implemented by the Metro and the Free State Department of Police, Roads and Transport. 5.5, the Metro submit a comprehensive report on its spending trend or pattern on the IPTN since its inception. The report should encompass whether the municipality has had to return unspent funds to the national department. 5.6, the Metro provide the committee with the memorandum of agreement between itself and the three taxi associations whose routes stand to be impacted by the implementation of the Metro's IPTN. Then just in conclusion, the provision of safe, reliable, affordable and efficient public transport available to all citizens of South Africa is crucial. As part of its oversight responsibilities, Parliament, through the work of this committee, has to hold the executive authority accountable. Therefore, Parliament should use its constitutional powers to continue to monitor that the Minister of Transport, the Free State Department, as well as Mangaung Metropolitan, implement the proposed recommendations of this report. So Chairperson, definitely members will need to give their input on this. This document, these documents were sent to members via emails from Valerie's side. We do need to get input on these observations and recommendations. This is the Mangaung one. Chair, I think I'll just pause here before going to the Moloto and the Gauteng oversight report just to get some input here, Chair.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let's have input from members who were in Mangaung.
Baba.
Yeah, Baba.
Do you allow me to speak, Chairperson?
Yes, let me start by allowing you to speak. Then it will be followed by Honorable McDonald and Honorable Silo. Silo.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the report that was given by the advocate, which is very much good. But when we arrived there, we found that buses were lying there without any movement. They were like a white elephant. The bus depot was at the foundation stage, yes. That is our concern. That must be noted. And nothing was done after so many years. The roads for the buses were not yet concluded with the relevant stakeholders. The buses were purchased with very exorbitant amount for their value. An amount that doubled a bus twice. Therefore, I think a special oversight must be concluded by the committee to see the progress as promised. That is my take, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Advocate Nell. It was a very comprehensive report from you. Chairperson, I think we should also mention that the city of Mangaung never sent senior leadership to us in the sense that the MMC for transport, the HOD for transport, never attended any of the meetings of when the portfolio committee was there. And I think that should be mentioned, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, can we also request, there's a lot of contention regarding these buses. Can we get an actual list of these buses and number plates and registration? And because there's a confusion if there's 5 or 10 buses and what was bought, Chairperson. I think many of the members are confused on that issue, Chairperson. But thank you very much. Those are the issues that I would like to have mentioned.
Thank you very much, Honorable McDonald. Mkhayesh.
Chair, thank you very much. Apologies as I was starting to get off mute there. Chair, you know, I don't even know where to start with this oversight because there are just a lot of things that don't make sense. The issue of the exorbitant amount, the 5.5 million per bus. When myself and Honorable Mang deliberated on the issue much earlier during the day or post the oversight, we tried to check really with these modifications that the officials were speaking about whether the amount could come to actually 5.5, and it was nowhere near that. We asked the question on the briefing of the 14th to the city manager who was there. We didn't get an answer on this exorbitant amount. We also didn't get an answer in respect of how the purchasing was done. We know that one of the officials on the Friday tried to talk about them having used funds from that are linked with the waste department or directorate. But that also didn't make sense. And then later learned that this was purchased through a lease agreement with Standard Bank. Now, I was of the view, or of the opinion rather, that the money that this particular programs receive is from National Department, and that is the funds that are used to then undertake the project. But now to hear that there was a lease agreement which was used to purchase these buses from the Waste Removal Directorate of the city, that still remains unanswered. So we don't have, as a committee that was on oversight, we don't have a answer as to how exactly were these buses purchased with that particular amount in mind, and specifics in terms of how many did those modifications cost per bus, a breakdown of if they say they needed to put a staircase or whatever the case may be for people with disabilities or using wheelchairs, how much did it cost, and so forth and so on. We don't have that. It is fundamentally impossible for us to accept as a committee that a bus was purchased for that particular amount and not have these questions that ought to be answered by the city. Also, in terms of the report, the Brandwach route, which is indicated in the report, it's the C2 route that is indicated there, which is set to be operational by 2020. I can confirm on this particular meeting that the route is not operational. One, for reasons that it is an illegal route that was not considered for the Haugweng bus, which I believe tenders have been awarded now to work on that route, and it is an illegal route. To what the extent of that illegality is, I am not sure, but the city must provide us with a report in terms of that particular route, which they said that will be operational by 2020, which I can confidently say that it is not the case. The first phase of the project, or the pilot project, was supposed to also be undertaken in July 2020. I can also confirm that that did not happen, or has not happened. I share in the sentiments of Honorable Makosini in respect of the storage of the buses. The report is correct. We are concerned that the buses are going to depreciate, Chair. And as we all saw during the oversight, when the officials left us and did not attend to some of the sites which we were supposed to go and see, we don't know exactly whether there's actually completion of these particular routes. Also, Honorable Chairperson, the completion percentages that are given by the city in their presentation that they gave to us, the one of 13 November, it's very unrealistic, because when we ask and we look at, for example, the completion of the Fort Hare Part A, where they say 43% completion of work in a month, when we were facing a rainy season, that was impractical. There was absolutely nothing there that suggested that these particular physical progresses would be achieved or completed by the time that the city had indicated. There was also no clear indication of how many times the main contractor had asked for an extension on the construction of the main depot. According to the councillor that was there, it was 19 December. But according to the in respect of the IPTN, the city gave us March as opposed to 19 December that was given to us by the main contractor for the extension. I think the less said about the storage of the buses or where the buses are stored, I think the better. Because for me, it makes fundamentally no sense as to why a city would decide to purchase buses whereas those buses do not have storage. It just doesn't make sense. It really boggles one's mind to even really begin to fathom some of these things that we saw there. The example I remember that was also made is that the city of Cape Town, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it cost them about 1 billion to buy out the taxis and later decided to include the taxis also for the commuters. The question that we had been asked whether it was whether the municipality has actually that amount of money to actually buy out these taxis, because I fear that they might later on find themselves in the same situation as the city of Cape Town and having to also now include those taxis back for commuter purposes. And I think there's much more that can be said, Chair, but I think I'll leave other members to also deliberate on some of the concerns that were picked up during the oversight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Ramato.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the comprehensive presentation, which is true reflection of what has happened in Mangaung. Chairperson, when listening to the discussion, I would like to make a submission that we go back for oversight so that we get a progress report, because there are many issues that we are not clear, that are not clear. And then we get a progress report. But this time, when going back, we must invite the portfolio committee from the legislature on transport so that they must continue with the work that we have started. Chairperson, that's my submission. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. You now can both of you lower your hands unless you still have something to say. Thank you very much, Honorable Sitholo. Your hand is still up. Thank you very much. Advocate? Have the gaps been plugged as members were deliberating on this report?
Chair, can I add something?
Yes, Honourable Member.
I apologise. I know Advocate Nell had asked for clarification in terms of the licence testing centre. I think the licensed testing center that did not form part of the deliberations on the 14th because she wanted clarity on the department or the word department and whether that was in actual fact the national department or what. But as far as I can remember, it was the officials from the licensed testing center, senior officials from the licensed testing center that were not available for that meeting. Hence, we took a decision that we are not going to proceed with the meeting until such time that the senior leadership of that Lengau testing center make themselves available in front of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Member. Advocate?
Chairperson, I have noted the further input by members and some clarity points that we can just add there. And also thank you for the clarity on the officials that were not present. We'll make those amendments. Chair, I don't know if members would like to see the final document before they consider adoption or if members would like to proceed with adopting with amendments. Then once we're done with that one, we can move on to the other oversight report.
Honourable Members, can we then adopt the report with the amendments we have made? Honourable MacDonald?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption with the amendments as proposed by all the members, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Any seconder?
Honorable Chairperson, I second.
Thank you very much. Advocate? on the report on Gauteng and Mpumalanga. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, Chairperson, I'm just leaving my track changes there. It's also a reminder for myself. I'm turning 40 this year, so I think my memory is going slightly, Chair. Chair, so again here, the date will change to today's...
Order.
Hey, Honorable Sitolo, yes, Advocate?
No, Chair, my member from Ports there must make sure that the roads are improved so I can take my mom back there more often. Otherwise, I don't want to drive to Ports anymore. Chair, the date will change to today's date if adopted. This will just indicate this is the oversight to Gauteng and Mpumalanga from 26 to 28 November. Indicates the members in attendance, as well as the staff that accompanied members. The introduction, which just indicates the reasons as to why the committee sought to undergo the oversight, and then also indicates that the committee paid a visit there to the King as well, then as well as some work that was done in looking at PRASA and the work that they've done to implement also the COVID-19 challenges and address those. Chair, again, the mandates and functions of the department and the committee, as in the previous report, just indicates the grounds for why we are able to do this. The site visit and briefings indicates the dates and where these took place. So site visits on 27 to 28 November was to Moloto Corridor Project, the King's Cluster. Chair, so that will indicate the courtesy visit there and to also get the information and issues as presented by His Majesty. Chair, the issues here indicated from their side was the Moloto Rail Corridor was meant to be a solution for the road traffic and accident challenges. The committee failed to hold the exec, based on their view, failed to hold the executive to account for the past 14 years since introduction of the project. The project was not only meant to curb the challenges as outlined above, but also to ensure that there's development in the area to create employment opportunities and entrepreneurial economic activity. Chair, then the Moloto Corridor Project, the government complex, this just indicates the representatives were met with, the department, the SANRAL was there as well as PRASA. What was the purpose for the meeting? So that was indicated there, Chair. Due to the nature of the gathering and emotions observed while assessing the atmosphere at the venue, a decision was taken to postpone the presentations from the department, SANRAL and PRASA, and rather focus on the input from the community representatives. And the following table illustrates the spectrum of attendance per stakeholder. So, Chair, this is just to indicate who were present there. From local government, traditional leadership, community organizations, and some entrepreneurs in the area. The deliberations and observations during that gathering, the leaders of the community organizations made input and highlighted various issues surrounding the matter at hand. They registered their frustrations. So, Chair, this just is an outline of what was captured and presented there. Key issues that emerged during that session. Purpose of Moloto Rail concerned citizens is to ensure that the project is implemented because it would help curb the road accidents on the road and enhance community development, which has been a request for the past 26 years. First request for construction of a railway corridor was made in 1984 and was meant to commence during 2006-07 financial years per the former president's State of the Nation address. The Mpumalanga legislature reported that a funding request for Moloto Rail Corridor was submitted to National Treasury so that the report can finally commence. According to views presented, the department and PRASA were the two institutions that failed to execute the project. It was also learned that the project was at some point removed from the presidential infrastructure projects, which was speculated as one of the reasons why it could not commence. According to the Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature, feasibility studies were done and approved, but the National Department stated that there were no funds to execute the project. was reported that an estimate of 40 people lose their lives from car accidents on the road a month, which leaves many child-headed families and increases the burden on the Social Development Indigent Register, because the road is mostly used by commuters who travel every day to Tshwane to earn a living. Traditional leaders also took a stance to fight for the Mlotho Rail Corridor project to take off. Councillors felt that they were being set up against their own communities and as such would like to have a report containing clear timelines upon which the project will be implemented. They had included the project in the integrated development plan for implementation, but due to lack of clarity in terms of implementation, been coerced to remove it from the plan. The community has never received any update on the progress of the project from the Mpumalanga provincial government until the committee's oversight visit. The community was and still is dissatisfied about the non-responsiveness of Parliament to issues raised by the community since the portfolio committee visited the area in 2007. Committee committed to convene a meeting with all relevant stakeholders and report back to them by the end of March 2021. Chair and in red, I just added there, or as soon as the committee program allows this to be done. Members will recall there was a discussion on this when we had the presentation on the Mlotho Rail Corridor issues. Then the community made the following demands. The president must reinstate the project on the list of its infrastructure projects. The committee must inform the president that the project must be implemented with immediate effect. Funds must be made available for the project immediately. Timelines upon which the project will be implemented must be clearly stated. And the public protector and AG should hold the department director, generals, and PRASA board members who were mandated with the responsibility of implementing the project accountable. Then, Chief, the Gauteng train station site visit, Kuruspoort train station. Just indicated there that the members met with commuters to gain insight on their everyday challenges. Also met with the station manager, regional operations manager for PRASA. In Mamelodi Gardens train station, they also visited the station and met with PRASA officials. Then engagements with PRASA on the 28th. Input from the chairperson of the board is just noted there in a broad outline. And then, Chair, on the observations, these are all in red, obviously, because we would need further input from members here. The 4.1, there's a need to get finality from the department and National Treasury on whether the Mlotho Rail Corridor project will be revived. We've since gotten a briefing from the department on this matter. 4.2, there's a need to have continuous engagement with the community affected by the Mlotho Corridor project to keep them updated on progress. 4.3, the committee committed to convene a meeting with all relevant stakeholders regarding the Mlotho Rail Corridor and report back by the end of March or as soon as the committee program allows this to be done. 4.4, observations specific to Kuruspoort and Mamelodi Garden train stations were, and this is definitely where we need input from members because we don't have information on those specific recommendations to that visit. And observations specific to the PRASA presentation, we also don't have those ones, Chair. So members will need to give us input on that. And then again, Chair, on the recommendations, we just need a time frame. Members need to indicate by when they would like clarifications on these reports. Given the observations that emerge from the deliberations and site visits, the committee recommends that. 5.1, the department submit a comprehensive written report to the committee on the matters raised during the oversight visit regarding the Mlotho Corridor project with specific emphasis on the Mlotho Rail Corridor by 15 March. We have received this. 5.2, PRASA submit a comprehensive written report to the committee on the matters raised during the oversight visit regarding the conditions at stations, security concerns, returning of operations at stations that ceased operations during the COVID-19 level 5 and which are still not returned to full operation, and progress made in operations since the new board appointment. This report must be submitted to the committee by 15 March. This one will have to change the date, Chair, to be linked with obviously the date of the report. We might have to change this as well, even though we have already received the briefing from the department on the concerns raised about the corridor.
Chair, again, this conclusion is the same as it was in the previous conclusion. We just indicated that there is a need to continue the monitoring of the ministry, the department, provincial departments involved in the Mulato Corridor project, PRASA, SANRAL, as well as local municipalities linked to the rail and Mulato Corridor projects. Chair, the report to be considered. So members will see this one requires quite a bit more input here from members for the recommendations and the observations. So Chair, this is back to yourself for the members' input. I'm not sure if we can capture sufficient observations to consider adopting this again with amendments today, we can do that. But if needed, we can schedule this one again at the next available date, Chair.
Advocate, thank you very much. Maybe I should say before I give members to make their input, I know we have since said, taken a decision as the committee that will go back to Mulato to the residents of Mpumalanga on this issue of Mulato corridor in the third term. Since then, a number of developments have taken place. I was contacted personally, members needing their feedback, as we have promised in March. I was alerted by Honorable Mapena that just towards the March, members of the Mulato community went on radio purporting that the committee was coming back to come and give their feedback. And subsequently to that, Honorable Mangu was also contacted by members claiming that they can't get hold of the chairperson. So I want to make it a firm proposal that I think it is clear that by the time we get the time to go back to Mulato, our information will be already stale because the minister has already gone out and pronounced on other issues which are pertaining the same report that we should take back to the residents of Mulato. I wish to request the committee to relook into our earlier commitment of going there at a latter stage and replace it with a resolution that will say, let's create time before we close, even if it is on Zoom. Contact the committee that had taken us there. Brief them, give them a briefing so that we don't leave people hanging, because that will breed anarchy, as I can see it's starting to actually go to that direction. I would want members to hear members' comments when we get to there. And the members will also then comment on our visit to Gauteng on different stations where there was a lot of chaos. Leadership new, other structures falling apart, people having built where we had earmarked for development around the railway lines been stolen. I think your members will be able to do that, but let me then allow members who joined me to Gauteng oversight to make their inputs. Honorable Lawrence MacDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Advocate. Now, Chairperson, you have summed it up very nicely for us. I just wanted to add that the PRASA's board members were only three members at the meeting. they, not all of them were at the meeting when we had the meeting with them. The, I think it was the Sunday before we left. And also the issue of the 3,100 new security officers that were reported in the media that were appointed, when in actual fact it was only 741, Chairperson. And the actual inability of PRASA to know exactly how many appointments they have done, how many of them are armed, how many has got uniforms. There was a serious confusion regarding the safety and security aspect of PRASA. When we were continuously put at ease in meetings that they are on top of their game, they're going to stop the looting and destruction of infrastructure. But during our visit there, we could clearly see that they have lost the war. But Chairperson, I think if we can also add that, and then Chairperson, I agree with you, revisits as soon as possible to both of these is mandatory. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Let's see, Ubaba Ulisa Wagwamanu.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. Good morning, colleagues. I think I would like to add on the PRASA station visits, on the observations. One, there was no reliable train. Even the one that we're told was available, the one diesel locomotive was not there, or people did not know when it is coming. Number two, the availability of tickets to the commuters is a major concern, as they are unable to buy anything other than a single ticket, which is costing them a lot of money. And these people don't have that kind of money. Also, the train is not going to where people need to go. So many people have to walk to work because of the unreliability of the train. I will call it the environment or the surroundings of the PRASA station. I just forget the name of the station we visited, where there was so much grass that people, it's very unsafe. Yeah, maybe unsafe is the right word for people to walk to the station. We were also informed that when a train does ultimately arrive, they would be cut off from queuing for the tickets, because only one cubicle is opened and they can't even buy tickets, although they would have arrived at the station quite on time. Those are some of the additions I would like to make as it relates to the PRASA station visits. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jambas. I think the station you are talking about is that station next to Silver Lake.
Silverton, not Silver.
Silverton. Thank you very much, honorable members. With those inputs and amendments, can we then adopt the report?
Sorry, Chairperson, okay. Sorry to interject. I just wanted to, I was now reminded by Honorable Manu that that the security cameras on none of the stations were working as well, and that it was, there was no security cameras work functional in all of PRASA stations. And Chairperson, and all the you have mentioned the cables that were stolen. I just wanted to add that as well. Sorry, Chairperson. Thank you.
with that addition, can we now adopt the report? Honorable Ramadwa?
Chairperson, before we adopt the report, can I add something? At Mamelodi Station, we observed that there were families that they have built houses next to the station, which is a challenge to the lines railway. And then I propose that we adopt this report with amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chairperson, Honorable MacDonald.
Thank you very much. Anybody who has anything to say? Going once. Thank you very much. Advocate? Am I correct when I say we are done with the report? Is any other report that we have overlooked?
Chair, I think we just need to check with Valerie on whether or not we will be looking at the committee's annual report of last year for adoption, Chair.
Yeah. I think we have overlooked that. It should be the last one. Yeah. Thank you. Advocate? Do you have it handy?
Chair, I'm just trying to see on my side if I have the latest one. I'm not sure if I have the latest one. Let me just have a look here. Valerie, the one I have was amended on 15 March. If you can just clarify if that is the one we need to consider today.
Valerie?
Yes, Chair, it is that one. It was 3 weeks ago. Yeah, 6 weeks ago, it should be that one. If it shows amended, then it is the proper one.
Thank you very much, Advocate.
Okay, Chairperson, I've got it on screen. It's quite a large report. This is a report that we do that just outlines the work that the committee has done for the year, indicates our highlights and challenges that we've experienced, similar to how the departments would do their annual reports. So, Chair, just the key highlights. I don't know if members would like me to read through this or if members have had the time to read to it. I just want to go to the headings, Chair. Reflection on the committee program for the year and on whether the objectives of the programs were achieved. So, Chair, this is the one that we originally had when we did our planning in February. And after we did the amendments when COVID lockdown came in. So, Chair, it will indicate that we had some difficulty performing all the planned oversight because of the restrictions. And that we had planned to hold more joint meetings, but that despite the fact that we didn't hold as many joint meetings as we would like, we did have some meetings with the subcommittee. On the administrative side, we did indicate that we were able to adopt all of the minutes except for the minutes of the last meeting prior to December recess period. So our minutes are quite up to date. And then on the administrative targets, our Manco meetings were the only real one that we struggled with during that period.
the focus areas that the committee had from the strat plan is just added in here and indicated there, Chair. We also went through these ones when we amended them yesterday. Key areas for future work. This emerged from the oversight activities during the past year. So, Chair, there's the continuous need to make sure that we keep our transport safe, as well as the previous safety challenges, but also from a COVID perspective. And that the department must ensure that the core services are suitably supported to provide safe transport for all South Africans. There needs to be a consistent monitoring of the department's performance, as it was impacted by the granting of postponements for tabling of reports to Parliament. Members will recall last year was quite a bit of a mismatch with some of the strat plans being late and then submitted later. We had a few annual reports that were also late because of the impacts of lockdown on the auditing. So that did also impact our targets that we set at the beginning of the year. The principal focus of the year since lockdown announcement was to ensure the health and safety of the commuters and getting the economy back on track. With this in mind, the committee went on oversight to visit taxi ranks, metro rail facilities. If members recall, that was the earlier oversight to make sure that there was COVID-19 protocol compliance. There was also oversight trips to address other community concerns on limited access to metro rail services, damage to rail infrastructure, the availability of IPTN services in various municipalities, as well as Mulatto Corridor. So we included these oversight that members did the reports that we just looked at. The committee saw a need to enhance the public participation in legislation before the committee and extended deadlines for calls for public comment on bills before the committee. Members will recall we did the additional publication on the Civil Aviation Bill, and we've also extended the call for public comments on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill. Then we also indicated that the administrative work of the committee had been met. Other than the Manco meetings, this has been raised in our review session, and we've sought to address that. Then also, the Chair, we do still seek to have the engagements with other committees to address those concerns that we have on scholar transport, traffic and transport-related law enforcement matters, CBRTA concerns, the relationship between Prasa and Transnet, the Shamba Sonke projects, transport subsidization, DORA transport grants and on compliance thereto, and revised funding models for entities that are in financial distress. Then in processing the revised legislation, here we were able to indicate that we could table and finalize ATNS, the OXA Amendment Bill and the NLT Amendment Bill, as well as consider the RAPS Bill that was before the committee. The only remaining one was the Civil Aviation Bill, which we could tick off as of yesterday, having sent that one now through to the NCOP. Then we are... Based on our indications, we were near completion with the ERT Bill and continuing with the NRTA Amendment Bill. We then also still have the Transport Appeal Tribunal Bill ahead, as well as the Railway Safety Bill that have been slotted into the program. Then, Chair, despite numerous requests for the list of proposed legislation to be tabled for the sixth Parliament before the committee, the list has to date not yet been provided. I think Mr. Hunsinger often requests this list. And I always try and draw the future legislation out of the department's APP and strategic plan. When the list is requested from the department, they do indicate that they still need to get the say-so or clearance from the leader of government business in terms of whether or not they can table the full list. But to date, since 2019, we still don't have that full list from the department. So, Chair, there's an ongoing need to monitor international treaties and conventions as we carry on with that. We've seen that now with the inclusion of the ICAO protocols in the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill. And we do still, from time to time, get treaties that have to go through the committee. Then the committee will continue to seek resolutions to the outstanding items regarding public transport subsidization, reconfiguration of public transport portfolio, scholar transport, revised taxi recap, CBRTA, poor management of entities, and a reduction of the department and entity vacancies. The key challenges, other than highlighted in paragraph three above, Chair, just to point out 4.1, the constant impact of weekly changes in the parliamentary program affecting the committee. Then also the continued uncertainty around COVID-19 restrictions and how easily restriction levels can change without prior warning also impacted the work of the committee. Limited number of Zoom meeting slots available for committee work also impacts our program. As members will recall, Parliament has a limited number of meetings that they can slot, so they work with also to secure the meetings, they work with certain passwords when we do get into the Zoom meetings. Then the late submission of documents from the department or its entities to the committee for meetings also affects the work of members. Then access to uninterrupted internet services for members and meeting attendees impede the flow of meetings due to dropped connections. We've all seen this myself now with my computer letting me down this morning. Then 4.6, access to research databases and electronic newspaper resources that would normally be accessible from Parliament precinct is also limited to us, your support staff that work from home. We do sometimes struggle to get the most relevant information out to members because of this. And then the 2021 year is a local government election year, and this also affects the work of the committee. Based on the recommendations, taking the above into account, the administration of the committee continues to perform well, but the committee management meetings should be held regularly. We've now addressed that with the change in terms of the monthly cycle. 5.2, the channel of communication between the department and the committee should improve in order to ensure that the department submit the required documents timely for members' consideration and meeting preparation. 5.3, if possible, Parliament should endeavour to release more meeting slots to committees who need to meet outside of their normal scheduled meeting slots. Committee oversight week should be communicated early enough to allow for better planning in the committee programmes. Members should continue to perform oversight in their local constituencies and report back on these to the committee to compile consolidated oversight reports. And then 5.5, Parliament Communication Services should ensure that all alternative publication and broadcasting mediums are given due consideration for processes of, or for purposes of publishing the call for public comments on legislation before committees. So members, we've structured these recommendations in this way because Parliament takes a look at all the committee's annual reports and they try and see how better they can assist members and the committees in performing their duties. That is why members will see these kinds of recommendations in here. It's also a recommendation for ourselves as well as Parliament. Then especially 5.5, we've included it there based on members' comments that in their view, the call for submissions, especially to the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, may not have reached as many people as we would have liked, even though it was one of the bills that we've received the most input on. It is a bill that, despite having about 6,000 odd comments, it affects more than a million drivers. So if you look at those figures, there's definitely a need for either people getting more involved or at least the communication being broadened. So Chair, we'll just see here that this just shows the department and entities falling within the portfolio. This is general information that we have in all our annual reports. So it indicates all the department entities. In future, if the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill is enacted, we will then have additional functions of the committee added when it comes to the statutory appointment of the board. So at the moment, we don't have any statutory appointments that we do based on the legislation, but that one will change in future once those are included. And if members do request similar amendments to future bills to get a greater involvement of the committee in those, then we will have those additional functions. Chair will see that it's just the outline of the method of work that we perform through meetings and oversight and constituency work. The purpose of this report is indicated. On the key statistics, Chair, we just indicate how many meetings were held in the terms and how much legislation was processed. Just some of my notes to make sure that we get clarity on the totals, if these ones are meant to add up or if it was all in total three. So we'll just sort out those clarity between myself and Valerie.
Mark and Alma, can
yes, Valerie.
Okay, then, put the meetings of the subcommittee also at 11.
Valerie, we can't hear you.
Chair, those 11 meetings are subcommittee meetings. Can you hear me now, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you clearly now.
Yeah, and I wanted that to be captured so that there is a complete view of what other duties the committee and the members had in the period, because that is not part of the template that we normally complete. It doesn't refer to subcommittees, but a lot of work was done by the subcommittee, and I felt it needed to be reflected so that there's a complete view of the business of the committee for that particular period.
Okay. Advocate?
Chair, then it also indicates the oversight trips done. The study tours, unfortunately, we did not do any of those. Last year, we did not have international agreements before us. Again, as I indicated, the statutory appointments will change if this bill gets promulgated. Interventions processed, we did not have any interventions or petitions during the last year. Other referrals from the Speaker or Chairperson's office, there was one, and then other referrals from the House Chairperson. We did not have any of those during the last year. Three, just there's a broad outline of the stakeholders. Chair, we've used a very encompassing description, so because if we have to list all our stakeholders, we will have at least another 20 pages. So we used a group reference in order to list them. Briefings and or public hearings, so we would have indicated those ones that we had linked to the legislation on those specific days. On the legislation, we indicate the name, the tagging, the objectives thereof, and by when it would be completed or stand to be completed. So just going, that's the NRTA one, it's not yet completed. TAT also not yet completed. We will be adding there, I think the only one that we don't have here that needs to be in is the ERT bill. Will need to be added in our list of legislation. And then the Railway Safety Bill was presented in March, so we just need to check on the year period for the report to make sure that we have everything included in there. Challenges, we have some challenges in processing of legislation that we've captured there. There was a bit of a delay in the processing and finalization of the Civil Aviation Amendment, because we had to re-advertise for additional input. The same for the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill. Content-related challenges, especially on the ERT bill, there were some issues that we had there with the department not being able to answer members' questions entirely when members requested that, hence the delay in processing. Then we have to still schedule our briefings on the Transport Appeal Tribunal and the National Railway Safety one in order to get those done. And then we are also, there might be a bit of a delay if we do get into the Transport Appeal Tribunal, because some of the provisions of that bill could be affected by the National Land Transport Amendment Bill that is before the presidency. and still to be enacted. On the oversight trips, this lists the oversight trips that were undertaken during the year under review, and we add the recommendations. So based on the current committee's adoption of the last reports, we'll also make sure that those recommendations are added. They're not in here yet, so they'll be added now after today. Then some challenges. There were some impact on the oversight based on COVID and how many members we can send and the availability. There was a lack of progress in the IPTNs and BRT systems from the municipalities and the departments themselves. Process operation failures, security concerns, stall of station revamp projects were also linked to COVID by PRASA. There was a new board announced, appointment of a new group CEO, and then the committee also would have wanted to engage with the new leadership to receive outstanding reports and information. Department and PRASA's indications regarding the Mlato Rail Corridor, that one was also a challenge. And then the feedback that still needs to be given to the community. Issues to follow up. There's increased, required increased participation in webinars. Should be supported as it can assist members in capacity building. Progress reports on IPTN should be received from the department and implementing municipalities. We would require follow-up briefings that need to be set up with PRASA, and the department is set to brief the committee on the Mlato Rail project. That was when we completed this annual report, so this issue will also be updated that they did do the briefing. Study tours, there were zero international engagements, zero statutory appointments, not applicable at this point in time. Obligations conferred on committee by legislation other than the BRRR at the moment. We don't have anything yet out of those ones. Then the summary of outstanding issues related to the department. So these ones, we will add in here the outstanding reports that we still need from some of the entities. The department has sought to respond to the BRT resolutions, and they've responded in part. They have sent some of their quarterly reports. We have now finally received a response back from the Minister of Finance on our request for him in the BRRR. So those issues, those ones specifically to him, are no longer outstanding. So we will just make sure that as of the end of March, all the outstanding issues will be included in here. We have not received any petitions, interventions, and then other matters. There was just the letter regarding some issues that COSATU raised on their national strike day of action, and there was a response from the committee on 1 December to that letter. Some challenges there, the transport-related concerns raised in the letter from COSATU were predominantly linked to the labor rights of taxi drivers per the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, sectoral determination on the taxi sector. And in the strict sense, it's a matter for Department of Labor to address, but the concerns raised regarding the request for subsidization of the taxi industry was being addressed by the department as part of the Taxi Lekgotla and the resolutions taken from there. Issues to follow up on for the year ahead would be to make sure that we get feedback and progress reports from the department on the resolutions from the Taxi Lekgotla linked to the COSATU letter. Other matters referred to the House Chairperson, there were none. And then recommendations are similar to the ones I've already read out for members above. The strategic plan that we've adopted will be attached. The master attendance lists will be attached. And then the financial statements on expenditure, these are subject to approval of the House Chairperson of both houses responsible for committees. We do not necessarily have a budget that is only linked for the committee. We have a core business support budget. So that is why it is indicated in this manner, Chair. So Chair, those additional resolutions and recommendations from the oversight reports will be added. We'll just do a double check on our tracking document to see what else is outstanding for item 11 here. And then we will include that, Chair. That is the outline of the committee's annual report for the work that was done last year for members to consider.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Let's hear members' consideration and adoption. Honorable Nsinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also for the work that's gone into preparation of this report. Chairperson, the purpose of the report is clear. The role of the report holds benefit to the functioning of the committee, and I therefore propose the adoption of this report.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Any seconder? Honorable Lawrence MacDonald.
Chairperson, I second the adoption of this report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any member who is willing to go against the adoption and the reason thereof, going once, twice, thank you. The report is adopted. And Valerie, this was the last report. Am I right?
Yes, Chair, and thank you to you and the members for considering the report and for the adoption. Chair, that's all from my side in terms of the reports.
We shall have to find a date. I think I've heard members agreeing that we should just process this issue of Muloto, so that we take it off our table. Two last issues, honorable members. I think there was an issue yesterday that we could not bring to its logical conclusion. That was an issue on oversight. Some members had indicated that they may not be available on if we are going to do some oversight and some work during the constituency period. I said we will conclude this matter today. And just to remind members, Honorable Lone Singer indicated that he will not be available. Who else indicated his or her unavailability?
Honorable Sitlolo.
Honorable Sikulo, and I think Honorable Ketamabala did say he may be in and out depending on his schedule. Can I try and persuade members? Maybe on a frank level, there is a message that I'm getting that members are saying, let's try and utilize our constituency period for constituency period. I think I'm getting that message, mild as it is. I wouldn't want a situation where we attend to some work when we are not a full complement, unless somebody is sick or that kind of a thing. Can I persuade members that we should take a decision that, as we have done in the past previous constituency office, a constituency period that we'll all be doing constituency work? Can we get to that understanding, honorable members? Honorable MacDonald?
Chairperson, I agree with what you are saying, Chairperson, that the constituency period should be allocated to constituency work. That being said, Chairperson, I think in the interest of the country and the work that we have to do is that we, as members, we will have to sacrifice some weekends and Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays and Mondays somehow during this period because of such a short year and the elections to do oversight work. Otherwise, Chairperson, it will be impossible for this committee to do any oversight for the next 2 years. And it's going to become a problem, Chairperson. I want to plead with other members that we also maybe schedule some oversight over weekends and maybe include one Monday here and there, although it's a constituency day and a Friday, so that we can at least do one or two oversight visits during this year as well, please, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. What are other members saying? Here is a proposal put on the table.
Chair, I think it's important that that the committee exercises its role in terms of undertaking oversight. I think that's what informs us practically of whether the department or its entities and other spheres of local government that depend on funding from the national department are in actual fact undertaking to the delivery of services as it relates to transport in all its forms. So I do believe that we must be able to prioritize oversight. We must be able to be in a position where we can have all members available, even if it's one member per political party. I think we are all capable of asking the relevant and necessary difficult questions for purposes of accountability. So I align my views with those of Honorable MacDonald. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Do we have that an understanding of the committee? Anybody who's against?
Chairperson, I'm not against. I wanted to support the proposal, saying let us sacrifice to balance constituency work and oversight, as Honorable MacDonald and Honorable Sitolo has said. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Having said that, it means we may then take 1, 2, 3 oversight. During this constituency period or Saturday, is my understanding all right?
Chairperson, I've got a different view as I understood it from Honorable MacDonald. MacDonald did not refer to this particular constituency period. He referred to the necessity to sacrifice in principle the time outside of scheduled periods. But it should be, this constituency period is too close in terms of the planning and it's dedicated to constituency work, Chairperson. In principle, I do not have a problem in sacrificing any additional time for oversight. And I also understand the need for oversight. I've got no problem with it in principle, but this constituency period, unfortunately, is a different one. Sadly, it cannot be interrupted with any portfolio work on my schedule at least.
Okay, I hear that. Honorable Sitolo.
Apologies, Chair. I wanted to also comment, indicate what Honorable Hunsinger was referring to in terms of the oversight, not necessarily the one that we are referring to now, but in future.
Okay. Okay, I just wanted to clear that so that we don't do what we have not agreed with. I think we are clear now. Let's then deal with our clarity is that we will not be available, at least for this constituency period, as members are indicating. Then there is an issue of Friday, which was already scheduled, the 14th. You said what the time is, Valerie?
Chair, what is currently on the agenda is the deliberations on the economic regulation of transport bill. Members may recall in the meeting of 18 March that evening, there was a request to postpone the meeting to another day for further discussion. So that was the date then that was agreed to, Chair, the 14th of May, to discuss and to discuss the matters that were raised by members in that meeting. There were different views on how the bill should be proceeded with going forward. So, Chair, that is the date for the meeting. And as I've indicated to you earlier, there are already apologies. And for this particular meeting, it is very important to get the members on board in terms of the quorum and also to get the different parties involved in this meeting for it to continue.
Who has already apologized, Valerie?
From the DA side, Mr. Hunsinger, Mr. Sitlole, and Mr. Mabena is also not available. Ms. Noluchungu, I've sent you a mail yesterday. She is not available the whole week. And that is from the opposition. I haven't received any other apology so far. But I think, Chair, it's important that we get an indication today whether there are any other apologies, because if there are not six members present in the meeting, then it won't have any value to continue, because the indication that I got in the meeting on the 18th of March is that the committee is going to make the decisions about the bill in that meeting.
Now tell me, Valerie, it was scheduled from what time to what time?
Chair, the meeting is scheduled from 9 till 1 o'clock, but I don't see it going beyond 11 o'clock, to be honest, in my estimation, because it's only one agenda item.
Okay. Next week, we don't have any meeting scheduled.
That's correct, Chair, because some members already indicated that they might not be able to attend due to the by-elections, but also, Chair, very importantly, during the meeting, there was a directive from House Chair again on members' participation in the mini plenaries. Members are asked to not have meetings, committees are asked not to have meetings in the cluster that they belong to. And the economics cluster is the biggest one. So the chances of this, of a committee meeting overlapping with a debate of the economics cluster is quite high. So you want, this committee won't be able to meet next week because of the scheduling of debates in the economics cluster, Chair.
Chairperson, I would like to mention. Hello.
Yes, Honourable May.
I'm in Cape Town at the moment, and I'm going back on Friday by car, so I won't be available.
Yeah. No, it's okay. I'm trying to accommodate you, Honourable Members. When is our next logical space, Valerie? After next week?
The next logical one, Chair, is on the 26th of May. Chair may recall that the meeting of the 26th of May was going to be legislation. And then in the evening, the committee was going to deal with the quarterly expenditure. But there was a view last time that that matter must be brought forward to a day meeting. So then, Chair, if members are prepared on the 26th of May to sit a little bit longer, because it's anyway a Wednesday and the House is only sitting from 3 o'clock, then the committee can meet from 9 till around 2 o'clock and then slot in the expenditure and the deliberations on the ERT bill. So you can then start with the ERT bill and then deal with expenditure straight afterwards and still finish by before 2 o'clock, if that's in order.
Okay, honorable members. Can we please make that sacrifice on the 26th to try and accommodate everybody?
Agreed, Chairperson.
Honorable Chris Onsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is an acceptable proposal and yes, can work. We can also start earlier. Starting at 9, you know, is also quite late in the day already. We can also consider starting earlier. I mean, 7 o'clock is a good time to start with anyway.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Honorable McDonald, your hand is up.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson, for noticing my hand. Chairperson, I'm in agreement with what you've said, Chairperson, that we should not break the unity that we have in this portfolio committee. And I think moving it to the 26th would be a good thing. I also... in agreement with Honorable Hansinger that we should start, let's say, at 8 a.m. so that gives us enough time to deliberate and to give us time to get to for our other parliamentary duties, Chairperson. So if we could start on that Wednesday specifically at 8 o'clock, Chairperson, I'm 100% in agreement with what is proposed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I also agree, starting at 8, not 7.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I take this opportunity to thank you for committing yourselves to the 26th. So Friday you would not have this engagement, because it is important that we should have this engagement, all of us, and see if we can't reach a better conclusion when it comes to this ERT. Otherwise, I want to thank all the members. I know there's one small item that we need to deal with in the next meeting. Valerie, you must just remember about this report. Otherwise, let me thank you for your commitment to this meeting and say at this point in time, you are liberated. Thank you very much, Advocate Almanel and everybody. Valerie, in terms of the good work that you people continue to do. Let me then take this opportunity and adjourn this meeting. Long live everybody, long live.
Long live the chair.
Thank you.
Bye, colleagues. Long live the most progressive chair. Long live.
Kabari chirere, muzula chiduro. Kabari chirere, muzula chiduro.
Kabari chirere.
Da.
Wow. Da.